ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan. Text 9 to 13. Vasitarte biyudhyadvir naditam shushmi bir birishai davanti vischa vasra bir udhobarai swavatsakan. Vasitarte biyudhyadvir naditam shushmibir vrishai davanti vischa vasrabir udobarai swavatsakan. Vasitarte biyudhyadvir naditam shushmibir vrishai davanati vischavasravir udhobarai svavatsakan. Tam shushmi bir brishai davanti vischa varshrabir udobarai svavatsakan. Lady? All right. Vasita, of the fertile cows. Arte, for the sake. Abhyudya Dyadbi, who were fighting with one another. Naditam, resounding. Shushmibi, aroused. Brishai, with the bulls. Davantibi, running. Cha, and. Basrabi, with the cows. Uda, by their others. Barai, burdened. Swa, after their own. Vatsakan, calves. Gokula resounded on all sides with the sounds of bulls and root fighting with one another for fertile cows, with the mooing of cows burdened by their others, chasing after their calves, with the noise of milking and of the white calves jumping here and there, with the loud vibration of flute playing, and with the singing of the all auspicious deeds of Krishna and Balaram by the coward men and women who made the village resplendent with their wonderfully ornamented attire. The cowherd's home and Gokula appeared most charming with their abundant paraphernalia for worship of the sacrificial fire, the sun, unexpected guests, the cows, the brahmanas, the forefathers, and the demigods. On all sides lay the flowering forest, echoing with the flocks of birds and swarms of bees, and beautified by its lakes crowded with swans, karandava, ducks, and bowers of lotuses. Purport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was only the translation of four verses, and we read only one. Although Gokula was merged in grief because of separation from Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded his internal potency to cover that particular manifestation of Braja and allow Uddhava to see the normal bustle and joy of Braja at sunset. Krishna is so wonderful, huh? So kind, so merciful. He wanted Uddhava to see Braja like he was there, normal. Everybody happy, jumping here and there, the calves, the cows, the bulls running after the cows. So when Uddhava arrived in Vrindavan, didn't notice because of the dust from the hooves of the cows, so much dust was there, they couldn't see the chariot coming of Uddhava. So when Uddhava arrived, he saw a very festive mood in Vrindavan. I mean, wasn't actually like that because they were feeling separation from Krishna. It was a different mood. But Krishna, by his own internal potency, he made it appear that way to Uddhava, so he will relish more his visit to Vrindavan. Nice welcome at sunset. That was the mood. Every sunset, Krishna will be coming back from the forest, from tending the cows, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan will be lining up to receive him back from the forest. And they will know from far away by seeing all the dust raised by the hooves of the cows and calves. And they will not be able to see Krishna clearly because of so much dust was there. And they will be so eager waiting for the moment to see him more clearly amongst the dust and the cows. So it was very, very exciting for all the Brijavasis to come at sunset to wait for Krishna and his return from the forest. While he was in the forest, the gopis will be feeling a separation. And they were lamenting that Krishna is walking barefoot in the forest, and the pebbles and the stone may hurt his soft lotus feet. So they were worried. They were worried about Krishna's well-being. So once a Mathura girl got married to a coward boy from Vrindavan. So she moved from Mathura to Vrindavan. And she heard about Krishna's glories, about Krishna's beauty and pastimes and wonderful qualities, but she hasn't have seen Krishna personally yet. So when she arrived in Vrindavan, she was very eager to have her first darshan of the Lord. But her parent-in-law didn't allow her, because they were getting ready to go at sunset to receive Krishna back from the forest. But they told her, "You are a newcomer, you are not ready yet to see Krishna. Wait a few more days to get ready." So the girl was crying, no, please take me with you. I want to see Krishna too. Not yet. They locked her in the house. So this girl was crying. Huh? So when Krishna came back from the forest, he's in the heart of everyone. He knew what's in that girl's heart. Eagerness, such a strong eagerness to see him. So he made a calf run toward that house. And he ran after, chasing the calf. So when he arrived in front of the house, catching the calf, he stood up there and started to play his flute. So the girl immediately looked through the hole of the door. And she saw beautiful Krishna playing his flute in his tribhanga, beautiful form. Aloka Chandra Lasadvana Malya Bamshi Ratnaga Dampranaya Keli Kalabilasam Shyamam Tribhanga Lalita Niyata Prakasham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This Tribhanga form, three-banded form of Lord Krishna is very beautiful. So there are three curves in Krishna's body, which are, who knows? The knees, when he bends his leg, the knee, there's one curve. The hips, that's another curve. And what is the third curve? No, the neck. He just bends his neck a little bit while playing the flute. That's the third curve. So that's very beautiful form. That's why all the didis, they have this beautiful form, Tribhanga. So the girl, when she saw Krishna and heard the sound of the flute, she became mad with love with Krishna. She immediately fell in love with Krishna. All the ecstatic symptoms appeared in her body. Tears, laughter, perspiration, changing of colors, the hair standing on end, stunned. All kind of ecstatic emotion she experienced by just hearing Krishna and hearing the sound of the flute. When her parent-in-law came back, they found her completely gone, you know. How we used to say in ISKCON when somebody was hanged up, spaced out. They found her completely spaced out. So they told her, oh no, this girl must have seen Krishna. She's now spoiled. She's useless now. Sometimes people think like that. Oh, he became Hare Krishna devotee, lost. Lost for the materialistic society. That's what they think. Well, of course, they were appreciating. They are so pure devotees. But they thought, oh, okay, do some practical thing. No time for samadhi now. Take this little baby, take care of this baby. And take this jar, this rope, go to the well, fetch some water. So the poor girl is still in ecstasy. She would know what she was doing, where she was going. She took the baby in her arm and the jar with the rope and went to the well to get some water. When she arrived there, other ladies were there also. So the idea, she had to put the rope around the jar's mouth, then fill it with water. But she was so bewildered by ecstatic emotion, she was putting the rope around the baby's neck instead. So the other ladies stopped her. What are you doing? So this is called divyamada, divine madness. Once Krishna saw Radharani churning milk, but there was no milk in the pot. It was an empty pot. But she thought she was churning. So Krishna thought, oh, my dear Harani, she madly in love with me. She didn't notice that there is no milk. let me milk some cow and bring milk for her. But also Krishna was bewildered by divine love, and instead of trying to milk a cow, he was going to milk a bull. So when Lord Brahma saw Krishna performing these pastimes, he became bewildered, because he saw that Krishna is having a mock fight with his friend. Sometimes he's defeated and he has to carry one of his friend on his shoulder. He thought, how can that be the same God, Narayan, that I worship? Sometimes you saw him with some fruits and yogurt in his hand, eating or stealing the yogurt and the butter and running. So he thought, let me test to be sure. So he went there, and with his mystic power, he stole all the boys and the calves. So now he wanted, to see Krishna's reaction. So he thought, let me take them to Brahmalok. But Krishna, being much more clever than Brahma, knew everything. He took the form of Brahma and arrived at Brahmalok before Brahma's arrival. And he told the doorkeepers, there is a false Brahma who may come here. If he comes, don't allow him in. It's not me. I am the real Brahma. Okay, Lord Brahma, as you say. So when the real Brahma came, he was not allowed in his own planet. He had to come back to the earth planet. So he put the coward boys and calf in a cave nearby. On the Govardhan Hill, there are many caves. He put them in one of the caves and put a big stone to cover the entrance of the cave. So in that traveling to Brahmalok and coming back, 1 year already passed. So he went to see what Krishna's reaction will be. And to his amazement, he saw the same coward boys, same calves there. Because Krishna expanded himself in all of them again. Thousands and thousands of calves and coward boys. So Brahma was... But Krishna, during that year, he satisfied the desire of all the elderly gopis to have him as their son. They loved their sons very much, but they loved Krishna even more. So when Krishna became their son, because he expanded himself as their son, so nobody will notice the theft, the kidnapping of Lord Brahma, they started to love their children the same way they love Krishna. They were amazed. How is that possible? We are loving our children the same intensity we love Krishna. So Krishna reciprocated with all of them. their motherly love. Not only the ladies, even the cows got that opportunity, because Krishna became all these calves. So Balaram was one day at Govardhan, and he saw a big cow grazing on Govardhan Hill. When the cow saw her calf down there at the feet of the hill, she started to run down at so much speed that the hooves were... clocking together? At great speed with her tail raised and going downward at great speed, you know. And when she arrived with her calf was Krishna. She started to lick all his body and start to give him her breast, her other milk. That calf was too big to drink milk, you know. He was not supposed to drink milk anymore, but take grass. So the coward men, when they saw that, they became angry. They came to separate them. But suddenly their children, their boys, who were also Krishna's expansion, they arrived at the scene and they forgot everything about the cow. And they came to embrace their children and smell their heads, shed tears of love. They were completely bewildered by intense loving emotion. So when Balaram saw all this display of so much in love, he thought, oh, so much love confuses me. Who's doing all this? So he approached Krishna to ask him, is this the work of some yogi or some witches? Or what? What is the reason of so much extreme love? Anyway, another thing happened while Krishna was expanding as coward boys and calves was that Krishna told his mother, "Mother, all these boys are teenagers now. It's time for them to get married with all these gopis, young gopis." So a big marriage ceremony was arranged, and thousands of gopis and coward boy got married. So Krishna married all the gopis to fulfill their desire, because they were worshipping him to become his wives. So Krishna fulfilled all their desires by expanding himself in that way. So when Krishna does something, he will fulfill many desires at the same time. So anyway, Brahma was so bewildered when he saw the same coward boys and calves there, but how was it possible? He went back to the cave and he saw them sleeping. So since he has four heads, he left the cave open with one head looking at the cave, with the other head looking at the pasturing ground. He saw them simultaneously in both places. His first impression when he saw the calves and the coward boys with Krishna, he said, who created this boys and calves? I am the only creator in this universe. Who have created them? So when he realized they were simultaneously, he understood that Krishna's mystic power is much greater than his. So he went to ask forgiveness for trying to test Krishna's power. And he was offering prayer to Krishna. Krishna didn't answer, didn't say anything. He was, you know, he was listening to Brahma's prayers, but Brahma wasn't sure if Krishna accepted his apology or if Krishna did forgive him or not. He wasn't sure. And he didn't dare to ask. So the question may arise that when Lord Indra attacked Vrindavan with a huge storm, that was a bigger offense, because Brahma just kidnapped the boys and calves, didn't hurt them, But Indra's intention was to hurt the inhabitants of Vrindavan with the storm. Not only to hurt them, but also their houses, their cows. All the village was attacked with severe rainstorm and hurling winds. Still, Krishna forgave him more easily than Brahma. The question may arise, why Krishna forgave Indra so easily and not Brahma? His offense was less than Indra. And Srila Sanatana Goswami gave the answer that the reason is because Brahma's offense separated Krishna from his friends for a year. But Indra's offense brought all the Vrijavasis along with Krishna for 7 days together. So that's why he forgave him more easily. So Brahma, being very intelligent and Vaishnava, he went after that pastime. He went to Navadvip, knowing that in the future Lord Krishna will come back as Lord Gauranga. So he sat down there and started to meditate on Lord Gauranga, chanting his holy name. And after prolonged austerities and meditation and devotion, Lord Gauranga was pleased with him and he appeared to him, blessing him with his darshan. So Brahma was overwhelmed with ecstasy and love and deep gratitude for the Lord's appearance. So the Lord told Brahma, "Brahma, I am pleased with you. You can ask me anything you want." So Brahma prayed, "My dear Lord, allow me please, since I am your servant, sometime I become proud because I'm the creator of this universe. And I'm always very busy. But please give me the opportunity to take part in your pastimes when you will come as Lord Gauranga. But give me a very humble position so I will remain humble." So Lord Gauranga blessed him. "Yes, you will be one of my associates, and you will be known as Haridas Thakur." Lord Chaitanya called Brahma Haridas. He said, "Brahma Haridas." So these are the wonderful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So when Uddhava arrived there, he saw all this wonderful festive mood going on. Let's read another verse.
Tam agatam samagamya krishnasya nucharam priyam nanda prita parishwajya vasudeva diarchayat.
As soon as Uddhava arrived at Nanda's Maharaj's home, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as none different from Lord Vasudeva. Uddhava looked just like Nanda's son, Krishna, and gave pleasure to anyone who saw him. Thus, although Nanda was absorbed in thoughts of separation from Krishna, when he saw Uddhava coming toward his house, he became aware of external events and eagerly went out to embrace his exalted visitor.
Bojitam paramanena sambhishtam kashipausukam katashraman pariyaprichat padasamvadanadibi.
After Uddhava had eaten first-class food, been seated comfortably and on a bed, and been relieved of his fatigue by a foot massage and other means, Nanda inquired from him as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that Nanda had a servant massage Uddhava's feet since Uddhava was Nanda's nephew. Mm-hmm.
Kachidanga Mahabhaga Sakana Shuranandanaha Aste Kushali Apatya Diyair Yuktamukta Surit Vrata.
Nanda Maharaj said, "My dear most fortunate one, does the son of Shura fare well now that he is free and has rejoined his children and other relatives?"
Dishtyakam sohata papa sanuga svenapapmana sadunam dharma shilanam yadunam dveshtiyat sada.
Fortunately, because of his own sins, the sinful Kamsa has been killed along with all his brothers. He always hated the saintly and righteous Yadus.
Apismaratina Krishna Mataram Surida Sakin Gopam Brajam Chatmanatam Gavo Vrindavanam Girim.
Does Krishna remember us? Does he remember his mother and his friends and well-wishers? Does he remember the cowards and their village of Braja, of which he is the master? Does he remember the cows, Vrindavan, forest and Govardhan Hill?
Apyayasyati Govinda Swajanam Sakridadikshitum Tarhidarkshyama Tadvaktram Sunasam Susmitekshanam.
Will Govinda return even once to see his family? If he ever does, we may then glance upon his beautiful face with its beautiful eyes, nose, and smile.
Purport. Now that Krishna had become a prince in the great city of Mathura, Nanda had lost hope that he will come back to live in the simple, coward village of Vrindavan. But he hoped against hope that Krishna will come back at least once to visit the simple, coward folks who had raised him from birth. Davagner vata varshakcha prishashar pakcha rakshita duratyaye vyo mrityubya krishnena sumahatmana.
We were saved from the forest fire, the wind and rain, the bull and serpent demons, from all such insurmountable deadly dangers by that very great soul, Krishna. As we remember the wonderful deeds of Krishna performed, his playful sidelong glances, his smiles, and his words, "O Uddhava, we forget all our material engagements." When we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, the rivers, hills, and forests he decorated with his feet, our minds become totally absorbed in him. In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods. Such was foretold by Garga Rishi. After all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the wrestlers Chanura and Mushtika, and the elephant Kuvalayapida. They killed them all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes of small animals. Purport. Here Nanda means to say, not only did Garga Muni declare that these boys are divine, but just see what they have done. Everyone is talking about it. So beautiful, so amazing, the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan for Krishna. As soon as he saw Uddhava, he became very happy because he resembled so much Krishna. Being his
cousin brother. And immediately he started to remember all Krishna's pastimes. Immediately. So we should remind each other about Krishna. Talk about Krishna. Remember Krishna. And in that way, we diminish the material suffering. We forget. Nanda Maharaj saying, when we remember Krishna, we talk about him, we forget our material engagements. Of course, they have no material engagement. Their only engagement is loving service to Krishna. Because of Yoga Maya, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. See, he's saying here that Krishna maybe is one of the demigods. That's not due to ignorance, but due to extreme love. That they don't care to know who is Krishna. Once Prabhupada said to the devotees, don't try to understand Krishna, just love him. So the devotees of Vrindavan didn't care to know if Krishna was God or not. They just loved him because of his wonderful qualities and activities and beauty, and they were so much attracted to him. So that's called spontaneous love. That's higher. Prabhupada said the inhabitants of the spiritual world who think Krishna is God, they are not first class. Those who think that Krishna is not God, they are higher. Of course, here in the material world, first we have to be completely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And when we reach perfection, we have to forget that forever. Because that's the mood in Vrindavan. If you want to go there. Any question or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. Mananda Maharaj said that when he remembered the Krishna all the time, forgot material engagement. So my question is, there didn't have any kind of sense gratification that we do our life every day now.
Yes.
So those days. So what engagement, material engagement he mean? The mean the regular, duty activities or what kind of engagement?
Daily activities of home and, you know, managing the cows, managing the coward men. He was a king of the coward men, so he has to deal every day with all kind of things, you know. So he considered those engagements to be material. But because Vrindavan exists only for Krishna's pleasure, so he was maintaining Krishna's property. This reminds me one pastime of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was sick. He was in Jagannath Puri, you know, in his bed, you know, he was very sick. So many disciples came to see him, and one temple president started to explain to him his managerial problems in the temple. So one sannyasi became disturbed, you know, Guru Maharaj is sick and he's coming to discuss all these managerial things with him, disturbing him. But another sannyasi told him, no, try to understand. For our Guru Maharaj, this is very important. Because management, temple management, means this is Krishna's household. That's Radharani's service, to take care of Krishna's household. The cooking is going nicely, the cleaning, everything going nicely. So Guru Maharaj was very interested to know how things were going on. It's not mundane, it's not material. It's a spiritual, because it is for Krishna's service. We sometimes tend to forget that. That only chanting is service. Taking care of the house, not so. But if Krishna is in the house, in the center, and everything is done for him. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to pray, "My dear Lord Krishna, if I work to maintain this house, this family, it is because this is your home, this is your wife, these are your children. I'm only here your servant." So with that mood, even in family life, there is no entanglement, because one knows everything belongs to Krishna, it's for his pleasure. He's the proprietor and enjoyer.
So in that mood, when you do service, depend on Krishna, okay, surrender everything that we're doing for Krishna.
Yes.
But we really have a desire, some result. So then when it result not comes, then we feel not really inspired.
Yes. Yes. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness without material desire is the best. But even with material desire, one should practice Krishna consciousness, because gradually one becomes purified, and in the course of time one will forget his material worries and just remain with Krishna. But if we try to satisfy our desires separate from Krishna, we may get them, but we take the risk we may forget Krishna. So in all actions, one should depend on Krishna's mercy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, in any endeavor he was going to take, he would say, if Krishna so desire, we are going to do this or that. So, men propose, God disposes. And we should not become upset or frustrated because we don't get immediately what we want. We should be patient. We should understand. I deserve to suffer much more than what I'm suffering because of my past misdeed. But Krishna is so kind and merciful. He's diminishing what I'm supposed to do, what I am actually deserve. So devotee always understand the mercy of Krishna in all circumstances. And they are always satisfied in any condition. Material situation is external. The important is the consciousness, the mentality we keep. Conditions may change, materially may change, or may not change. Doesn't matter. Arjuna wanted to walk out of the Kurukshetra war. He said, "No, I don't want to be here. I don't want to fight." Krishna said, "No, you can't change your environment. You have to change yourself. You have to change your consciousness." So that's the revolution in consciousness. External things may be the same, but the consciousness has changed. One sees things differently. One should do one's best and depend on Krishna for the outcome. Don't be attached to the result. We are not the doer. We offer the result for Krishna's pleasure. Then we are not entangled in karma, action, reaction. Yes.
Bhagavatam, we found the gopis sometimes they keep criticize Krishna, or that because he their thing always Krishna, so they lost their interest to do anything, their regular duty. They not get inspired to do anything.
Yeah.
Also, Nanda Maharaj also mentioned over here. So it's a natural sometimes happen also with us devotee that we join Krishna consciousness, then it's a kind of you feel not too like materially people, those are really so much involved activities and do other things, but we don't feel also that much to do.
Let me see if I understand the question. The question is that we lose interest in the material activities.
Nanda Maharaj and also gopis, they said when they think about Krishna, they don't feel anything to do. They don't feel inspired to cook.
Yeah, I understand.
All this thing happens.
Yeah, we can't imitate that, of course.
I'm not imitating, but no. I'm saying it's a natural position sometimes is happening.
Yeah, natural. When you start becoming very much attracted to Krishna, one loses attraction for material activities. Isn't naturally, when somebody becomes devotee, he's not interested to go to nightclubs or disco or all this, you know, things. Because one gets higher taste. So he doesn't want to drink or liquor or smoke or go into the movies. He lost interest. That's the proof one is advancing. He's getting a higher taste. So one should cultivate Krishna consciousness with the idea that I will please Krishna, and if Krishna is pleased with me, then I will lose attraction for all this nonsense activity. I will be more attracted to engage in devotional service. That's the idea. Very good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Prabhupada.